Hello and welcome. You're listening to a podcast by Pastor Fred Thompson at Mount Gilead Baptist Church.
I don't know that I would consider myself a person who is a student of or a studier of human behavior, but I do know this, I like to watch people. I don't know if any of you are the same way, if you're a people watcher or not. I know that when Mary and I first got married, I think that frustrated her because we would be out someplace and she'd go, "What are you doing?" I'm just watching people. You know, one of the things that I've observed is that people come in a lot of different flavors. There's a lot of ways that people behave out there. Now, I've got to tell you that every now and then, probably more now than just every now and then, I'll look at people and think, "What in the world are they thinking?" You know, just the things that they're doing or the way they're dressed or something, and I wonder what's going through their mind. Here's one thing I have observed. There tends to be at least two extremes of human behavior. One extreme is the individual who's just devil may care, it doesn't matter, let's just have a good time, life's about a party. On the other hand, there's the person that never cracks a smile. They're always serious. That's where I fall. Y'all were supposed to laugh at that this morning. You know, sometimes I've walked up to some of the kids, they'll be laughing and everything else, and I'll look at them and with a really serious face, and I'll say, "Wipe that smile off your face. We're Christians. We have to be serious." Now, if you've been around me long enough, you know that I'm not that way. I was told in seminary by a girl she wasn't sure that I should go into the ministry because I had too much fun in life. So, you know, I just think life is supposed to be fun. And not in the sense of you just throw everything away and go at it, but really I think we should enjoy life. And that's really, I think, what Solomon is saying to us today. If you got your Bible, go ahead and open it to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll pick up where we left off last week. So we're doing a look at this. How then should we live? Part 2. He's been looking at all these things in life. He's looked at wealth. He's looked at power. He's looked at wisdom. He's looked at, you just name it. I've not found many stone unturned in Solomon's life that he's looked at. And every one of those he's looked at it using the senses, the sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste. And he's looked at life and he's basically said, under the sun, I can't find meaning in life in any of these. But he's getting down close to the end of what some people have referred to as Solomon's diary, his journal. And as he gets closer to the end, he starts drawing some conclusions. And when we get here today, he's looking at, let me just back up a little bit. Three things that so far in these last chapters he's telling us, in light of the fact that I can't find purpose under the sun, here are three things that you need to do. You need to live wisely. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Last week we looked at this one. Live generously. And today we're going to look at this one. Live fully. Live fully. Enjoy life. That's what life is all about. You know, I can't find purpose under the sun, but you should enjoy life. Well, how we enjoy life depends on how we answer the question that's printed for you right there. What are you waiting for to enjoy life? And your answer will be something like this. I'm waiting until I fill in the blank. I would say that in our culture today, there's at least three ways people fill in that blank. And they're labeled those three things there. One way is, I'm waiting until I get all the money I need. Or until I get the house that I've always looked for. Or until I have all the possessions that I need. But it's possessions, owning things. And they wait in life until they get those things. And then they say, once I get those things, then I'm really going to enjoy life. You know what they find out? Once they get those things, they still don't enjoy life. Because enjoyment of life doesn't come from possessions. Jesus warned about that. It says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus warned and said, hey, you know what? Possessions don't have anything to do with your life. Another thing people will wait on is, I'm waiting until I get married. Or I'm waiting until we have children. Or I'm waiting on that some relationship or some person that they're looking for in their life. And they want that to fulfill their life. And they think that once that person is there, everything's going to be great. And I'll really enjoy life. Well, David wrote in Psalm 41. And in Psalm 41, he's expressing really some hurt in his life. Verse 9 says this, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." In other words, look, you may wait for that right person, and then that right person is going to turn around and hurt you. That right person may be the person you've been waiting on for some way, and the first thing they do is they betray you and lift their heel against you. Then others would say, well, I will be happy when I've reached all my goals in life. When I've fulfilled all my dreams, I can sit back and I can relax and I can really enjoy life. Do you know what James warned us and said? And let steadfastness, you know, it's not about getting that goal, but being steadfast in life, have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So it's not that goal. People reach their goal sometimes and they don't know what to do. I don't know if you remember, I shared the illustration that Alexander the Great conquered the world at a very young age, and then he looked around the world and basically said, what's there to do? I've conquered everything. And he ended up dying an alcoholic, drinking himself to death. It's not in any of those three things will you find anything, if you wait on them, to help you enjoy life. And then we come to what Solomon says today. So if you've got your Bible, open to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 7. Now I'm going to tell you up front that in these verses, we're going to go through the 8th verse in chapter 12. It's a very poetic section of Ecclesiastes. And what he does in here in this poetic section is he gives examples or illustrations or things that represent something in life. And when you first look at it, it may not make sense to you when you read it, but hopefully it will when we get through today. I won't go through every one of them, but hopefully it'll just give you a good picture of what he's saying. In verse 7, he starts out by saying, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Now, in this particular section, light represents the goodness of life. And the sun represents to live life fully or joyfully. And so the picture he's painting there is this. Savor life. He says that it's sweet. That's a word that's used in the scripture in a lot of places, and it's like the sweetness of honey. We got some people that know about the sweetness of honey. I love honey when I'm eating my breakfast on an English muffin or something. You know, it's just something, it's sweet, it's tasty, and good. He says that it's good to see the sun. So when you put those two together with that good and that sweet, it implies this, just savor life enthusiastically, just like you're savoring some sweet honey. And that's how he wants us to look at life. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Then in verse 8 he says, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. A lot of discussion about what he means by the days of darkness. Some people think that he's referring to some hard times in the future. I personally believe from everything that I've read that I think he's referring to the days of darkness is there's going to come a day when you die. And in fact, one paraphrase says this, and then you'll die and you're going to be dead a long time. That's what the verse is implying there. And after that comes vanity. In other words, enjoy life, because one day you're going to die. And believe it or not, you're going to be dead a long time. So after you die, everything else is vanity. It won't matter to you. There's nothing you can do about life. You can only enjoy life while you're alive. So what he's saying is this. Because he says, starts out by saying, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them, or them all. He says this, enjoy life regardless of your age. Just enjoy life. Doesn't matter how old you are. As long as you're alive, you can enjoy it. Yeah, there may be some hardships along the way. There may be some difficulty along the way, but find joy in life. Don't let your age be something that determines whether or not you're going to enjoy life. There's, again, two extremes on that. There are some people believe, well, you can't enjoy life unless you're young, because once you get old, you can't enjoy life. It's impossible. On the other hand, some people think, well, when you're young, you really don't appreciate life, so you can't really enjoy it. You can't enjoy life until you get older. But what Solomon is saying is this. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Enjoy life. All the days of your life. Find joy in them. But then he goes on to talk a little bit more in detail about enjoying life in your age. And he starts with people who are young. In verse 9 he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes." Let me pause at that period there. What he says in that first part is this: enjoy your youth. In other words, don't grow up too fast. Don't waste the time of youth. George Bernard Shaw said it this way: youth is a wonderful thing. What a crime to waste it on children. You got to think about that one for a second. You know, it's one of those things of youth. When a person who is young is just full of enthusiasm. If you got kids, don't you know that? Your kids can conquer the world, can't they? They don't see anything that they can't do. So youth is really a time to seize opportunity and follow your dreams. It's a time to press out and to go because you're young and you're energetic and life is ahead of you and you're enthusiastic. What he's saying is this: look, enjoy your youth. Be young. Sometimes as adults, we are guilty of squelching the youth. We want them to grow up too fast. And we don't let them be youth. We don't let them be kids. They need to be able to be who they are and have fun in their life and enjoy the things of life. I enjoyed reading some comments by Chuck Swindoll, who many of you know, and you may have read some things by him or heard some of his stories. And he was talking about one of the challenges as he was growing up with his children. And he said one of the things he found out that their kids were doing is called TPing. How many of you know when I say the initial TP what I'm talking about? Toilet papering. All right, let me help you with that. If you've never heard of TPing, could you stop my daughter's ears up for just a second? Thank you. I've done it. It's fun. Toilet papering is where you take rolls of toilet paper and you go to someone's house and you make it look like it snowed. And you put toilet paper all over everything and then it's done. You know, in the days that I did it, it was really a fun thing to do. But can I tell you something? If I did it today, what would happen? They would put me in jail for vandalism. It's how our world has done. They've made things that really were intended to not be bad. And I'm not encouraging the youth to go out and toilet papering, by the way. But it's just like our world has made things of youth. It makes them hard to be young. It makes it hard for them to enjoy things because they make it extremely wrong for things that are just the normal things of a child growing up, being young. And Solomon is saying, just enjoy your youth. But listen, the last half of that verse says this: but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. All right, what's he saying? He's saying, hey, don't abuse your youthful liberties. You're still accountable. He's saying, hey, be young, enjoy your life, but be careful. You're going to be accountable. Paul even warned us that in Corinthians it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. That's the biggest challenge probably for youth, is realizing that someday there comes a day of accountability. And for some youth, they get in deep trouble because they don't understand that and they go out and do things that aren't just being youthful, they're being criminals. They're doing things that get themselves in trouble and they find themselves having to be accountable for something that they've done. So he's saying, look, be young, enjoy your youth, but just remember, there's some accountability on its way. He then goes on to say a little bit further in the next verse, remove vexation from your heart. When it says remove vexation from your heart, that word vexation is an interesting word. It comes from two Hebrew words, anger and resentment. And when it's anger and resentment put together, it's referring to rebellion. So what he's saying is this: remove rebellion from your heart. Don't be rebellious. Hey, have a great time, but don't be rebellious. By the way, I should tell you as we're going into this, even though he's talking about the youth here, rebellion is not confined to youth. Rebellion can happen no matter what age you are. As a matter of fact, if you remember, when Israel was leaving Egypt and they rebelled against God, many of those were older people, senior adults. What did they do? They rebelled against God. So rebellion is not just a youthful thing. So he's just warning them, hey, look, you're accountable and don't be rebellious. You're going to be accountable for that. He even goes on to give a little wiser thing by saying, put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Put away pain from your body. What's he saying? Don't practice harmful things. Don't forget you're accountable. Don't be rebellious. And some people, youth-wise, I had friends like this, who felt like that I can just do anything I want to and it won't hurt me. And they got involved in drugs. They got involved in crime. They got involved in sexual relationships. It was just devil may care for them. And what he's saying is this, look, you can do those things, but go. You know what's going to happen? One day it's going to cause you pain. So look ahead. Remember you're accountable. Look ahead and realize that if you do some things down the road, they'll cause you pain. By the way, that's good advice even for senior adults. One of the things about sin is this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll take you where you didn't want to go, and it'll keep you a whole lot longer than you planned on staying. And that's really his advice to youth, which is good for everybody. Look, don't do something that's painful. Don't get into sin, because what sin will do and what the pain will do in your life is it'll take you, and you'll pay for this the rest of your life. So just be careful. And then in that last part of it says, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. What I sort of saw on this is this. Don't make youth the end goal of life. Don't make youth the end goal of life. Because you know what? If you make youth the end goal of your life, it's going to end because you don't stay young forever. There's a whole industry out there today trying to keep people young. There are plastic surgeons. There are night creams you can put on. There's pills you can take. Now, most of those have not proven to be of any effect whatsoever. But you know what people are trying to do? They want to stay young. They're looking for the fountain of youth. They want something so they can stay. Youth becomes the end goal of life. Look, grow old happy. People have asked me sometimes about getting older. Listen, I've considered the alternative. And the alternative is not a good one if I want to stay here with my family. You know, you have two choices in life. You either grow older or you die. It's the natural change of life. So enjoy your youth. Enjoy your life. Grow old happy. I believe that's what Solomon is saying in those verses of chapter 11. But he goes on to say a little bit more when he gets to chapter 12 and he begins to offer up some more advice. He says in verse 1 of chapter 12, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. He's saying, look, remember your Creator. There is a day going to come when it's going to be harder for you to find pleasure in life. And we're going to get into that for a second. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, because for us who are older, you're going to be really depressed by the time I get finished with it. And I hate ending up on depression. You know, I just don't want to end on that part of it. Here's some interesting things. The word remember means more than to think about. He's not just saying, hey, stop and think about your Creator. No, when he's talking about remember, that word remember means to mark so as to recognize or to recount at a later time. In other words, remember is to really stop and reflect on who your Creator is. Really think about the things that your Creator has done for you and look ahead. And later on, you may mark those things. Some people call them spiritual markers. There are things in your life where you recognize that God has done something important in your life. You make a note of that so you can go back and remember that. When hard times come, you go back to your spiritual markers and remember where God has worked in your life. Remember is also a command to revere God and keep His commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verses 18 and 19, it says this, you shall remember. That's the same Hebrew word in remember that's in remember your Creator. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. So remember and look back at your Creator. Remember who your Creator is. Remember the work he's done in your life. Why? Because if you forget him, the consequences are pretty serious. And that's what he's contrasting there in Deuteronomy. He's contrasting the difference between remembering the Lord, because if you remember the Lord, he'll bless you. But if you forget him, he says, you'll perish. Remember is always linked to obedience. When you hear the word remember, it always goes to the idea of obedience. Psalm 119 says it this way, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. I remember your name. I think about you at night. And when I do, I remember I'm supposed to be obedient to you. I'm not supposed to be disobedient. I'm supposed to be following you. Remember is always linked to obedience. And then he said, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember, because there's difficult days ahead. One person said this way, when you're young, you run into trouble, and when you're old, trouble runs into you. That's what he's saying. You know, when you're young, you're going to encounter some trouble along the way, but when you get older, there's some dark days ahead, and trouble will come your way. Just remember, because there's difficult days ahead. Now, let's just look at these verses of Scripture, and like I said, I don't want to leave you depressed today. It's very poetic the way he wrote these things, but beginning in verse 2, and I'm just going to talk about them as we go through them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Before the sun and the moon and all are darkened, he's talking about losing your eyesight. Before those days of darkness come and hard times come, you know, when you get older, your eyes start failing. I had an optometrist in Florida. I finally quit going to him. There was two reasons. One, it was a little long drive to where he was at because I had moved. But the other reason was every time I went to him, he would pull out a little chart and he'd go, now, because you're over 40 years of age, here's what's happening to your eyeball. I didn't need to be reminded that my eyesight was going. I knew that. It was pretty obvious. My arms kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter. You know, it's like I can't get my arms long enough to see what's in front of me. My girls, I couldn't figure out. I'd go to my dad and stick things in front of him. My dad would say, son, don't hold it so close to me. I got two girls, and what do? They come up, Daddy, look at this. I can't see it up that close. I can't focus on it. And that's what Solomon is saying. There's coming a day, as you get older, your eyesight will fade. And also he says that, and most, or some commentators believe that this, and the clouds return after the rain, it's talking about your second childhood. That there's going to come a time when it's your second childhood. When you're a child, there are three things that children do. They eat, they sleep, and they go to the bathroom. And when you get older and a senior adult, you eat, you sleep, and you go to the bathroom. I don't mean that badly, but it's like you return to a second childhood at some point in your life. People have to take care of you. You know, we joke with our girls, there's going to come a day you'll be putting the depends on us. You know, because we're going to get older. He's saying that day's coming. Enjoy your life because that day is coming. And verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. The keepers of the house, and some translations say the guardian of the house, is probably talking about the arms, because the arms are what you fight with. They're the guardians. And what he's saying is that there's going to come a day when the arms get weak. And you're not going to be able to lift things like you used to do. He goes on to say, and the strong men are bent. The strong men are probably the legs. It's what holds you up. Someone said, you know that you're in old age when your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You know, the knees, the legs get weak. You can't walk as well. It's a little bit more difficult. The strong arms are bent. And this one. And the grinders cease because they are few. The teeth. You know, as you get older, you get fewer teeth, and the grinders, it's talking about eating. It becomes more difficult there. And then he goes on to say, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. And again, back to the eyes, the windows are dimmed. And the doors on the street are shut. There's a lot of, I never could get a clear one on the doors of the window are shut. I will tell you what one commentator said. The doors on the window are shut is probably the mouth that when you lose your teeth and your lips go in. Right, you know, I had a grandmother that had false teeth. So when she pulled her false teeth out, you know, her lips went in. And they think that's what they were talking about when Solomon is saying that, when the doors of the window are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird. Now, some think when it says where the sound of the grinding is low, it's talking about your digestive tract doesn't work like it used to. Now, that's probably true to some degree. But on the other hand, it also may be referring back to that the sound of chewing is low because, again, you've lost your teeth as you get older. And it says that, and the daughters of song are brought low. In other words, you can't hear. The hearing starts going. By this point, just about everything in on my body has quit working. They are afraid also of what is high. You get afraid of heights. Stairs become a challenge for you. And terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. That's the hair turns white. The grasshopper drags itself along. That just means that your ability to have a walking gait changes as you get older. My mom has to use a walker when she gets around. And desires fail. And that's just referring to the sexual drive that comes along. Because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. And then he says, before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Those are all just symbolism pointing to the fact that death is on its way. And it can come a lot of different ways. It can come by accident. It can come through sickness. It can come by, some people believe like that the wheel broken at the cistern is referring to the circulatory system where the heart fails and the circulation system fails. But eventually the dust returns to the earth, but the spirit goes back to God. So he's saying, remember, because the difficult days are ahead. He's sort of saying, as again one writer said, just about the time your face clears up, your mind starts to go. That's sort of the picture that Solomon's doing. Now, I've got y'all so encouraged this morning. I know y'all are ready to go, aren't you? I've been studying this, so you got to understand how excited I was at trying to figure out how to share this with you this morning. But look what he gets down to the end part. He says this, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. I think what he's summing it up is simply saying this. Remember so you don't come to the end of your life and look back with regret. He's saying enjoy your youth. Enjoy life. Enjoy it even when you get older. Even when all these things are happening to you. Enjoy your life because there's going to come a day where you're going to realize the end of my life is here. And when the end of my life is here, you're going to look back, and one of two things is going to happen. You're going to look back, and you're going to say, I've done everything I know to live the way God wanted me to live. Or you'll look back, and you'll say, ah, if only. And it would be a life of regret. I've met some people in my life that have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior late in life. Some turned out to be only months before they actually went to be with the Lord. And it seemed that a large number of those people have all said the same thing. You know, now that I know the Lord, I look back, and with regret, I wonder, why couldn't I have come to know Him when I was younger? So that's what I think what Solomon is saying in these verses of Scripture. Look, at the end of life, don't let it be a life of regret. Enjoy your life. Now, he's been looking at life under the sun, but did you notice that at the next to the last verse, he says, but when the body dies, it goes back to the dust, but the spirit goes where? Back to God. He's beginning to, at the end of his journal, he's coming to the conclusion and understanding, you know what, we live life fully, but it's all about God. You're going to see that. Next week we're going to wrap up Ecclesiastes with the last part of chapter 12, and you're going to see that. There's a catechism that the Presbyterian Church has. Now, you know what a catechism is. A catechism is just a way of teaching. It has its advantages and it has its disadvantages, but one of the things it is that most of the time you teach, it starts out a lot of times by teaching your children, but it's how they learn the doctrines of the church. And what you do is a series of questions and answers. They ask a question, and then you are able to repeat back to them an answer. The very first question in the Presbyterian Church Catechism is this: what is the chief and highest end of man? What is the chief and highest end of man? And here's the answer. Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. You know, that's what he's saying, that we are to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. Do you want to really enjoy life, whether you're young, middle age, or senior adult? Then learn to do it by enjoying God. Learn to do it by trusting in Him and allowing your life to bring glory to Him. There's a final slide that goes up here, and it just has the word glory on it. And you probably can't read the small print up there, but it's Jesus near the end, chapter 12. And he's on his way towards Jerusalem as he's traveling there. And he says, "My soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from what lies ahead? But that is the very reason why I came." In other words, look, he sees the cross ahead. He sees the death. He sees all that's going to take place. And as he looks ahead, and they're trying to get him not to go on to Jerusalem, to get him not to go, he says, "But wait a minute, that's why I'm here. Father, bring glory to your name." Jesus came to bring glory to the name of his Father. We're told in John chapter 17, verse 4, and we shared this a long time ago on one of our other messages, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." It's Jesus. He's coming to the end of his life, and he's saying, "Look, I glorified you on earth. I've accomplished the work you sent me to do." You know, God wants us to glorify him. In fact, one of the purposes that Paul tells us over in Ephesians 4, verse 13 is this. He's talking about how he gives some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the ministry, for the work of the ministry, for the building up the body. It says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That when we get to the end of life, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to attain to the fullness of Christ. He wants us every day of our life to be growing, to become more like Jesus, to glorify Him through living like Him. Now, Solomon didn't have that privilege of knowing about Jesus Christ. And I think that's why sometimes when you read Solomon, you see such depression and it's so despondent the way he responds to things. But as he gets to the end, I believe he's starting to see, you know what? I've tried to find the meaning of life here, and the meaning of life is here. And he's saying, it's all about remembering your Creator. It's all about remembering what He's done for you. Whether you're young, whether you're middle-aged, or whether you're old, it's focusing your life on Him.
Thank you for tuning in. If you're ever in the Griffin area, we would love to have you come visit us at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Our location is 14550 Highway 19 South in Griffin, Georgia. I hope you have a wonderful day. And remember, God loves you.